This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaqi, Imam of Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. The next important event is the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Khadija. Khadija was a well-known and prosperous woman in Mecca. She was wealthy. She wasn't married. She was older in age. And she used to hire men to travel for her and do business. Because you know that the trade of the people of Mecca used to be based on traveling to Yemen and Syria, Asham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that in Surah Quraysh. إِلَافِ قُرَيْشٍ إِلَافِهِمْ رَحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهَا مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهَا مِنْ خَوْفٍ. They had a journey of winter and a journey of summer. One to Yemen and one to Asham. So Khadija would hire men to work for her and take care of her business. She happened to hire Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She heard about his honesty. And she was running into trouble with a lot of men and not being honest. So she wanted to hire somebody who was trustworthy. She heard about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so she hired him. And she had her servant accompany Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her servant's name is Maysara. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Asham, did business for her, came back. Maysara reported back to his master. Maysara went to Khadija and told her, this man is, his trustworthiness and his honesty is amazing. It's outstanding. And he was praising Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, Khadija became very interested in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, his character was admirable. Khadija radiyallahu anha, who was a wealthy woman, who was sought after by the noblemen of Quraysh, she said, I want to marry you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25 and she was 40. The difference was 15 years. She was his senior. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never married anyone else before Khadija radhiyallahu anha passed away. All of the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were, the surviving children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were from Khadija. Fatima was the daughter of Khadija radhiyallahu anha. She bore 6 children for him: Zainab, Ruqayyah, Kalthum, Fatima, Al-Qasim, and Abdullah. And none of them ended up having descendants except Fatima radhiyallahu anha. And that is where the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is continuing through the descendants of Fatima and Ali. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her so much, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept his loyalty to Khadija even after she passed away. He would always remember her, always mention her name. And that sometimes would cause jealousy among the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so much love and admiration to Khadija and so much respect for her. Because Khadija is the one who stood up for him and supported him when everybody else betrayed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, who was the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that, she would sometimes feel this jealousy. In Bukhari and Muslim it says that Aisha said, I did not become jealous of any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except Khadija. And I have not seen her. The Messenger of Allah used to at times slaughter a sheep and say, send it to the friends of Khadija. So not only did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always remember her, he kept on maintaining a relationship with the friends of Khadija. And one day I angered him when he said that by replying out of jealousy Khadija. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been given by Allah her love. Once he mentioned the name of Khadija, so Aisha was upset. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, this is something from Allah. I was given her love. It's not something that I control. Allah has put her love in my heart. In another hadith narrated by Ahmad and at-Tirmidhi, Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah used to many times not leave his home without praising Khadija. I mean, this is amazing. How much love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for her. One of the days he praised her, and out of jealousy I said, was she not but an elder woman that Allah has replaced her for you with what is better? He became angered and said, no, by Allah he did not replace me with anyone better. For she had faith in me when the people rejected. She believed me when the people belied me. She made comfortable with what she had when the people denied me. And Allah has blessed me with children from her. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become angry when he would hear anything against Khadija radiallahu anha. And this shows us an aspect of the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His loyalty to the people who were close to him. This is years after Khadija passed away. I mean, opportunist people, they take advantage of a person, and whenever that person is gone, that's the end of the relationship. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always remember his old friends or relatives, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, Khadija radiallahu anha, Mus'ab ibn Umair. These sahaba, in fact, subhanAllah, one amazing thing that brings a person to tears. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, one of the last things he did was go and visit the cemetery of his friends who died in the Battle of Uhud. The 70 companions who died in the Battle of Uhud. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that he will be leaving dunya soon, he went to the cemetery and made dua for them. And he was saying in that dua that soon we will meet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was missing them so much and was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him with them and to join them together in Jannah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this strong relationship with his sahaba and loyalty, and he never forgot his wife Khadija, who stood with him in moments of difficulty. He never forgot that. And he would continuously make dua for her and mention her name. And Khadija was a special person. Khadija radiallahu anha, when she was living, Jibreel descended on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Khadija is going to approach you now and she's caring for you some food. When she arrives, tell her that Allah is giving her salam. And tell her that I am giving her salam. That is how special Khadija was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down Jibreel alayhi salam to tell Khadija that I'm giving salam to you. And Jibreel is then adding his own salam to the statement and telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell her that Jibreel is giving her his salam. And then Jibreel alayhi salam said, and give her the glad tidings of a palace in paradise. So she was granted a place in Jannah. Khadija is one of the four greatest women that ever lived. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the greatest women that ever set foot on the face of the earth are four. Maryam bint Imran, Khadija bint Khuwailid, Fatima bint Muhammad, and Asiyah bint Muzahim. These are the greatest women. The greatest among them is Maryam alayhi salam, by the verse in Quran.
وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ
O Maryam, Allah has chosen you above all of the women of the world by the statement of Quran. Second is Khadija. She's number two. So the second greatest woman. Number three, Fatima bint Muhammad. And number four, Asiya bint Muzahim. And all of these four women had something to do with the Nabi. Two of them were mothers of Anbiya, or actually ones who brought up Anbiya. Maryam alayhi salam brought up Isa. She was his mother. And Asiya, she brought up Musa. And then Khadija was a wife of a Nabi, and Fatima was the daughter of a Nabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, reached the age of 25. And he was, you know, in his seerah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as being chaste in an environment that is corrupt. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because some of the Orientalists, the ones who are professional enemies of Islam, he used that as their animosity towards Islam, it is their role in life. They try to attack the person of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the areas that they attack is his marriage life. They talk a lot about his marriage to Aisha, they talk about the fact that he married 12 women, and they try to accuse Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being a womanizer. So let's look at the marriage life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's study it. Number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches to the age of 25 in an environment where zina, adultery and fornication was widespread. And you might have read the hadith of Aisha, which was in Bukhari, where she talks about the four different relationships that existed between men and women. One of them was a traditional marriage, the other one was brothels that were legal in Mecca, and they would have flags on top of them as signs for anybody who's interested in this corrupt behavior. And then they had this other type of relationship where a woman would sleep with a group of men that could go up to 10. And then if she becomes pregnant and she delivers, then she can call these men in and say that she could just pick anyone out of them and say that you are the father of the child. They had this strange relationship where a man would allow his wife to sleep with a nobleman in order to have some noble lineage. So it was quite a corrupt environment. A young man would party and sleep with women that they have no legal relationship with. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lives up until the age of 25, and he was able to fight the tide and stay away from all of this corruption, all the way until he reached the age of 25. So that's number one. Number two, at the age of 25, he chooses to marry a woman who's 15 years older than himself. And she is a widow, or divorced. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being from the noble family of Banu Hashim, he could have chosen for himself any woman he wanted in Mecca. And if he was interested in these desires, he would have chosen for himself a young woman to marry, rather than marrying a lady who is 15 years older than him. She was 40 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. Number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains with Aisha until he reaches the age of 50. And we know that the age in which men would have strong desires towards women would be from young age to around the age of 50. I mean, that's the young age of a man when the desires would be the strongest. So for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remain married to Khadija in a very happy marriage, and it is not reported at all that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had any intentions of marrying anybody else. He didn't even contemplate the idea. There are no reports of that. So for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to continue with Khadija radiallahu anha from the age of 25 to the age of 50 is a clear indication that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had none of those thoughts in his mind. And I think this completely destroys that argument. Khadija radiallahu anha passes away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains as a bachelor for about 2 to 3 years. Later on, he marries another widow, Sayyida Sauda radiallahu anha. The reasons for him marrying Sauda are because Sauda radiallahu anha was in Abyssinia. She came back to Mecca and her husband passed away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his care for his companions, he married her. Husband died, she doesn't have anyone to provide for her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries her, and she was quite old in age. Because later on in Medina, we know that Sauda ended up giving up her night to Aisha radiallahu anha, because she was very old at age. Suddenly, within the last 10 years of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married many women, to the extent that when he died, he left behind 9 widows. So how come this change? From the age of 25 to 50, he only married Khadija radiallahu anha, but then within the last 10 years of his life, or the last, it's 10 years because for 2 or 3 years he was unmarried. For the last 10 years of his life, he marries and he leaves behind 9 widows. What is the reason? Number one, forging alliances with different tribes. When we study the marriage life of Rasulullah ﷺ, we need to look at the life of Rasulullah ﷺ comprehensively. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ﷺ, devoted all of his efforts, underline all of his efforts for the promotion of Islam. Everything that he would do, even his decision in marriage, would be based on the benefit of Islam. Whatever Rasulullah ﷺ did in his life, the intention of it was to promote the religion of Allah. He wouldn't do anything purely to satisfy his human desires. He would do it to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, we need to look at his marriage life in this light. He married a few of his wives to forge alliances with different tribes, to bring them closer to Islam, like his marriage of Juwayriyah, which ended up making the whole tribe of Banu al-Mustalaq become Muslim. Number two, caring for his companions, his followers, like the example we gave of Sauda radiallahu anha. Number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to strengthen his ties with his closest companions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a strong brotherly feeling towards his companions. And there was a special group among them whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to have a stronger relationship. And that is not only an Islamic brotherhood, but to add to it family ties. And for someone who did not experience Islamic brotherhood, it's difficult for them to appreciate this. What if you have lived like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his companions for 23 years? What bond would develop between them? They were, subhanAllah, together in moments of ease and moments of difficulty. On the battlefield and in times of peace, they would eat together, they would travel together. The relationship that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum was so strong. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married the daughter of Abu Bakr, and he married the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab, and he married his daughter to Uthman ibn Affan. And when this daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he married Uthman, another of his daughters, and then she passed away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If I had 99 daughters, I would marry them to Uthman ibn Affan one after another." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to have this relationship between him and Uthman ibn Affan. And he married his most beloved daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha, to Ali ibn Abi Talib. So now he had a family relationship between him and the four Khulafa: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Number four, and this is very important, conveying the religion. We are to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has a sunnah as a statesman, a sunnah as a teacher, a sunnah as an imam, a sunnah as a military leader. And he has a sunnah as a family man. Now we have hundreds of companions to convey to us his sunnah as a statement. We have hundreds of companions to tell us how he acted as a military leader. We have hundreds of companions to tell us how he was as a teacher and as an imam. How many do we have to tell us about his family life? How many? Rasulullah ﷺ did not have a lot of children that survived him, only Fatima radiallahu anha. So who would convey to us his family life? It is his wives. Now if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only had one wife, first of all, it will be difficult on this one wife to recall every aspect of the family life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, she could easily be discredited because you only have one source. And we know that Abu Hurairah, we know the vicious attack that is being directed at Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, because the enemies of Islam know that if they can discredit Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, they can completely destroy over 5,000 of the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By discrediting one man, they could undermine 5,000 of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we already know that has happened for a fact. There is an attack on Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And the family life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the most important aspects of the sunnah, because it relates to every one of us. Not every one of us will be an imam, not everyone will be a military leader, not everyone will be a statesman, not everyone will be a teacher, but almost everyone in the ummah will be a member of a family. So how will they learn on how to conduct their lives as members of a family without receiving information about how Rasulullah ﷺ was a family man. Therefore, Rasulullah ﷺ had multiple wives so that they would convey to us this body of knowledge of how Rasulullah ﷺ acted in his private life. Many of the sunan relating to how Rasulullah ﷺ treated his wives, how he treated his servants, how he ate, how he dressed, how he would spend his time at home, his ibadah at night, that was all conveyed to us by the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ. So it's not only limited to the section of family sunnah, but it also relates to the ibadah, how Rasulullah ﷺ would spend his night. How do we know that? It was through the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ. So having multiple wives, first of all, they compensate each other. So if one of them forgets, the other would remember. Number two, you have more than one chain of narration. It's coming through multiple sources rather than one. And number three, it becomes impossible to discredit, because now we have more than one person involved. And that is an extremely important thing for us. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a living embodiment of Qur'an. And therefore Allah granted that his sunnah will reach to us, because it's part of the promise of Allah to protect Qur'an. The protection of Qur'an is not only that the words of Qur'an will be protected, but also part of its interpretation by Rasulullah ﷺ would survive. And that was done through the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and most importantly through the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for us, it was very critical for the ummah that Rasulullah ﷺ has multiple wives. And that's why he was excluded from the ruling of having four or less. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed him to have more, because of the special circumstances of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was done and destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a protection of his religion. Now the two most controversial marriages of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are his marriage to Aisha and his marriage to Zainab bin Jahsh. These are the most targeted marriages of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have a lot of complaint about his marriage to Umm Salama or Umm Habib or Sauda, but there is a lot of attack directed at his marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha and Zainab bin Jahsh. Aisha radiallahu anha, because Rasulullah ﷺ married her at the age of 6. And the marriage was consummated at the age of 9. And the attack against Zainab bin Jahsh is because he was married to his adopted son, and then Rasulullah ﷺ married her later on. So these are the two marriages where you have a lot of controversy. So let's look at these two particular cases. Subhanallah, it so happens that the two particular marriages that are targeted are the only two marriages of Rasulullah ﷺ that were divinely instructed. None of the other marriages of Rasulullah ﷺ were instructed by Allah except these two. His marriage to Zainab was instructed in Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab.
وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَخْشَاهُ فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا.
When Zayd left her, we commanded you to marry her. So it's in Quran. And the marriage of Rasulullah ﷺ to Aisha was divinely inspired through the dream which Rasulullah ﷺ saw. And this dream is mentioned in Bukhari. Rasulullah ﷺ says, Jibreel came to me, and I saw you, Aisha, covered behind a silk curtain. Or you were wearing a silk dress. And when I would uncover you, this is in the dream, before Rasulullah ﷺ marries her, when I uncovered you, I saw you, and Jibreel told me, this is your wife. So Rasulullah ﷺ saw a woman, and when he took a look at her, it was Aisha. And then Jibreel told him, this is your wife in dunya and in akhirah. And Rasulullah ﷺ saw this dream twice. And we know that the dreams of the Anbiya are revelation. رؤيَ الأنبياء وحي. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the dreams of Anbiya are revelation. So the marriage of Rasulullah to Aisha is instructed by Allah. And the marriage of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم to Zainab was instructed by Allah. So you have two types of people who would attack this. One type would be Muslims who have weak faith and they wonder how Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would do something like this. The response to them would be, it wasn't Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم who did it. He was commanded by Allah to do it. So as a Muslim, do you believe in the command of Allah or not? It was an exceptional situation that is not allowed for you. That's why it's not part of the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. We cannot marry more than four. That's not part of the sunnah that we follow. And also his situation with Aisha radiallahu anha is also not something that is allowed for us. It was an exception that was allowed for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم for particular reasons which I will talk about. But for a Muslim, this would be the response. That these were divinely commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal, therefore we have no right to question them. It wasn't something that was initiated by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was done by Allah. Now for the ones who are not Muslim and are attacking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying that this is an act of, you know, all of the horrible accusations that are directed at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the response will be that your problem is not really Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم marrying to Aisha. Your problem is that you don't believe he's the messenger of Allah. You don't believe that he's receiving revelation. So your problem runs deeper. The issue of bringing up Aisha is just a front in order to attack Islam. Even if Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't do it, you would still be attacking. You can still say that this was divinely instructed. The response will be, well, how convenient it is. Whenever there is something that seems strange, you say that God commanded it. That could be a response. I mean, they would say, well, these particular two marriages that we are attacking, you say that God is the one who instructed them. The response will be that we need to then discuss the issue of whether Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was a prophet of Allah or not. And that would settle the argument. If he's the prophet of Allah, then we have no right to question what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do. I mean, if we establish that he was a messenger of Allah, receiving revelation from Allah, then whatever Allah tells him to do, we should accept it. I mean, if Allah tells one of us to stand against the wall with one foot up in the air until we die, we have no right to question that. I mean, it's God who's instructing us to do it. Who am I to go against what my Creator wants me to do? Allah owes nothing to us and we owe everything to Him. Therefore, if something is instructed by Allah, I don't have to understand why it is that I'm instructed to do this, I just have to do it. So I hope that we get the point here that the enemies of Islam are attacking the marriage of Rasulullah ﷺ to Aisha. Even if that didn't happen, the attack would still continue because their problem is that they don't believe in Islam. They don't believe that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah. They don't believe that he was receiving revelations from Allah. So it's pointless to argue on the point of Aisha radiallahu anha because there's a major problem. And that is they don't accept him altogether. And that would take us back to the accusations of the people of Quraysh that were thrown at Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed,
قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ.
They are not disbelieving you. They are disbelieving in the message of Allah. They are attacking you because you are the messenger. They're not attacking your personality just because of your personality. They're attacking you because you're conveying the message of Allah to them. So these attacks that are hurled at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are because he is the messenger of Allah.
Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.